I was 14 years old, and we crossed the border. We crossed the land, and even the sky looks different. It was blue.
And I started doing these canvases. I became prolific. And I was being compared to Basquiat, who I'd never heard of. I'm like, what the fuck is a Basquiat?
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Laura Wexler.
And I'm Jessica Henkin. And this week on the podcast, Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man. This week, two tales of artists following their passions against the odds.
And before we get started, we want to thank Park School of Baltimore, an independent co-ed, non-sectarian, lovely school in North Baltimore. So this first storyteller shared his tale at a show that we did at the Baltimore Museum of Art. That was inspired by an exhibit of Mexican prints. And so this show featured stories about sort of the border and about crossing over the border physically, but also metaphorically, and in the ways in which so many artists in America have been influenced by Mexico. And Alfonso's tale fit right in. He was born in Mexico and has traveled a long and winding path to come here in Baltimore, where he lives and works as an artist. He's actually in residence at the Creative Alliance, which is a wonderful arts organization here in Baltimore. So please take a listen to Alfonso's story.
So I have really humble beginnings. My family comes from a really, really, really humble family back in Mexico, especially Veracruz. I'm from Mexico City originally, and I moved to Veracruz with my mom and my grandma. And I remember I started getting really curious about a lot of things. One of the things that I was curious about was, well, what's up with the bird? What's up with the rabbit? What's up with the frog? Why they are so weird? So my partners in crime were my brothers and my cousins, and, you know, we used to run around the towns, just get in some trouble. And one time, going around this little town, Coatepec, we saw an art class going. And, you know, so you guys can understand a little bit, my grandma, she always taught me to, everything is free, everything should be something that is related to, you know, like kind of this humanism, and we should always be related and share the experiences with each other. So I saw the class, and it was a watercolor class, and they were making this school, this kind of like, you know, like landscapes and everything, and I sit down, and the professor looked at me, and he's like, who are you? I was like, I'm Alfonso, I'm just listening. And he like politely tried to kick me out a couple times, and then he come to the last part when he's like, hijo de la chingada, you need to get the fuck out of here, or I'm gonna call the police. And that time my grandma was actually looking for us, and she grabbed me, and I said to her, but why? Why I cannot have like that little thing that, you know, a pencil or like the crayons that they were using? And she's like, don't worry about it. Just come over here. We're back to the house, and my mom and my grandma tell us, tomorrow you're going to wake up, and you're going to go around, but instead you're going to grab one of your grandpa's T-shirts, and you're going to go to the train tracks and get some of the coal, and you're going to pick up as much flowers as possible. And don't forget to get the wrestler posters. Get the old ones because people want to see the luchadores. So just get those. So the next morning, me and my brothers and my cousins, they decided just to go play soccer. And I decided to just go to the train tracks by myself, and I collect as much coal as possible. And then I go, like, several wrestler posters and flowers. And I came back, and then my grandma said to me, oh, you forgot to go with Don David to the parcela and get some of the limes and lemons that he has. So anyway, long story short, she taught me how to dilute the ink from the wrestler posters to make my notebooks. She taught me how to make pencils out of coal. And most important, she gave me the four colors, which, you know, had to make pigments out of flowers. So times went by, and I still have some of those notebooks. I think it's still in Mexico. I think I have one here. But anyway, so for circumstances that I'm not going to get too much into it, maybe that can be another story. We moved to the United States. My dad got the car ready. He said to me, whatever you say to the Border Patrol, you say you're going to Disneyland. I was like, all right, sure. You fucking love, you want to see Mickey Mouse. You say the mouse. I didn't speak in English at the time. So we crossed the border, but it was so intense. I remember leaving my grandma, our time was short. I was 14 years old, and we crossed the border. We crossed the land, and even the sky looks different. It was blue. It wasn't no dirt in the streets. And everything was different. And we get to Eagleton, Kansas. And by the way, this was like the year of 2000, and around Christmas. And it was really cold, and my dad forgot that we need to put antifreezer. We were going to Minnesota. So we spent, the heater started getting colder and colder, and we just stopped in Eagleton, and we decided to stay the night. Well, the next day, you know, the refrigerator just blew up. So we stayed a couple of days over there until my mom decided to just take the bus. I spent New Year's in a Greyhound bus coming to Minneapolis. So this second part of the story is my family worked really hard. We live in basements. We live with uncles that they overcharge us. But my mom never kept the perseverance going. And I learned from her not to ever give up. So she sent me to school. And I remember my first interaction again with art was looking at the school art that I was sent. It was an immigrant school. And I met so many people from Ethiopia, Somalia, Russia, Italy. And we're all there, all artists, all scared of ourselves. And I decided to try to make proud of my family because my parents were working three jobs. So I started studying and so on, so on, so on. So it came the time that I applied for a community college. And I wanted to be a journalist, but I couldn't even write really well. So I come across a photo class, and my first mentor told me to go into the arts. That's another story, too, because as I get into it, we were here like 3 hours. So with this perseverance, I start making art. I took my first classes of painting. Community College said to me, great, just give us the money and you get a diploma. I applied to the University of Minnesota, which is the gorilla of the city. It was really hard to get in. I got accepted in the BFA program. It was a trip because I studied under Morgan Clarence, and he was an African-American abstract painter, but met with him a couple years ago, and he told me the truth that he has no fucking idea how to see my art. So when I graduated, I was the only Hispanic in the arts out of CLA. It was 1,879 students. I was the only Hispanic that graduated from the arts. And that gave me more perseverance to continue. And I took a year off, and I applied to grad school. Coming to Baltimore, I came to this city with the hopes that because I was really interested in painting at that moment, and all the hopes and dreams, and I left my home. My mom said to me, mijo, just do the best as you can. You always have beans and rice here. They still live in a basement in Minneapolis. So I came here. I got hit by a car the first day of orientation. I broke my arm in six different places. At school, tried to kick me out, but my director, John Walmart, always said to me, what do you want to do? I called my mom, and she's like, well, she always has ways to say things. She said to me, well, why don't you just come back and just, you know, be home again. But I got to go because I got to go to work my shift starts at 10 p.m., and I got to come back home and make breakfast for your dad. He needs to leave. Oh, and by the way, he's 75th birthday, so just let us know when you come back. So I called back my director. I said to her, I'm staying. And from there, saw a couple of stories. I was home a couple of times. But anyway, so at the end, I'm here. I'm doing the best I can for not only for me, especially this situation that we are in today. And now I'm making more surrealistic paintings, kind of like the museum is showing here. And they gave me inspiration to continue and put a voice for my people, which is the Mexican-American and Latino community here. I would like to take one last minute to dedicate this talk to the person that gave me everything to become an artist, and that was my grandmother. My grandma passed away 3 weeks ago. Our time together was short. She taught me about how to touch the water and listen to it, how to hear the bird, and how to feel the wind. I just realized, and a lot of the things I'm starting realizing, because my mother keep a lot of things from me. My grandmother was one of the few indigenous people from the Mexica tribe, Aztec. And she speak Nahuatl, and that's what I was always listening to her, that when she would mad at me, she would say these words. I was like, what? The fuck you saying? Okay. My mother, it's the same. My father is Spanish descent, but Mexican. So I would like to dedicate this to her, Doña Otilia. She's in the sky, and now she's the water and the wind. She'll always be with me. Thank you so much.
That's just such a beautiful tribute to the women in his life.
His grandmother who, you know, showed him a way to pursue art even though he couldn't afford taking the classes, and his parents who continue to work really hard and live in really difficult conditions. And just listening to his story, I'm just reminded of, like, the stories of the great artists like Van Gogh and all these other people who just bleed for their art. And I feel like that's what Alfonso does. You can Google him and find his work. It's really beautiful. Before we go on to our next artist tale, we want to thank Golden West, which is a vegan omnivore cool restaurant with drag queen bingo, an awesome bar, late night crepes, mm-hmm. and all sorts of good stuff. And that's on the Avenue in Hamden. You can find them online, Golden West. And we also want to thank Baltimore Magazine. You can find them on newsstands and also at baltimoremagazine.com.
Our next storyteller is Jeffrey Kent. He has an MFA, but he also spent a portion of his life doing...
an MFA in life.
Yes. He was he's very open about the fact that he sold drugs to get by. He used drugs to get by. He's now in recovery from both, and he focuses on his art. He has a live-work studio here in Baltimore,
which I got to visit, and is awesome.
Yeah.
And you can also find his work online, too.
So take a listen.
I never thought I'd be an artist. My earliest memory, oddly enough, though, is spending time with my mom coloring in coloring books on her bed and remembering her telling me to stay in the lines. And I recall the love and joy I got from making shapes and colors and choosing colors of my own choice and the freedom I had as a three-year-old. But growing up, I was never encouraged to follow a path of being a creator. I grew up in Baltimore, as noted, and I grew up in the Northwest Side, first in Park Heights, then Liberty Heights, and so forth. And throughout my years here, I did what a lot of young single parent inner city kids do. I got in trouble all the time. And I was fortunate enough not to be held back in school and find myself at the time of graduating from high school wanting to be a designer. And I recalled my family members that I look up to telling me that that's foolish. Don't consider being a creative. You need to get a real job. Try nursing, data processing or something. But I wanted to be a designer. So they convinced me to go into merchandising. And so I studied merchandising and started doing haberdashery work, working in stores and managing stores. But at the same time, however, I was a drug dealer. I was selling coke and marijuana, and I was getting high and found myself in this huge apartment overlooking what I thought was Central Park, but it was Drew Hill. Oh, y'all laugh. It felt like Central Park to me because I was a hustler. I lived looking at this beautiful view of the city. But when I got arrested from selling drugs to an informant on my lunch break, they told me, don't come back to work until you figure out and fix whatever it was you got arrested for. So I found myself unemployed, hustling, living in this great apartment. But it was bare. It had no art, or no contemporary or fine furnishings. And I did have taste, even though I was a hustler, because my family, we went to museums, and they tried to turn me on to things of culture. But at that point, I found myself in this bare apartment with all this idle time. So I decided, and I recall meeting artists and hanging out with artists at a younger age, and I decided I would go and take $500 and go to an art supply store and buy some canvases and some paint. And I started painting. And I started doing these canvases. I became prolific. And I was being compared to Basquiat, who I'd never heard of. I'm like, what the fuck is a Basquiat? I was insulted. And then I found out what a Basquiat was, and I was like, whoa, I could actually do this. So oddly, the same people I was being supplied to sell coke and the people who were buying coke from me, because I was still hustling, I didn't have a job. I was lying, telling everybody in my family I was making money selling paintings, but I was really hustling. But oddly enough, these people started buying paintings and wanted to buy my paintings. So I started selling paintings. But I got addicted to cocaine. I started freebasing. And then I became a crack addict and lost everything. Ended up moving back home, lived with my great aunt. I got a live workspace at the Copycat, where I was getting high most of the time and painting at the same time, terrible paintings. And I hit my bottom in 94, or 93, well, December 31st, 1993. In January 1994 was my first clean date. And I continued for many years. I ended up moving to Chicago, changed my environment. Came back to Baltimore, moved into a live works, my first really great live workspace, where it was really huge. And I shared it with other artists to have exhibits. And I decided at that time that I would just do art. I was selling cars. I left out some of the stuff, but I was selling cars and a waiter and doing all these things. And I decided I didn't want to do anything else but art. And since then, that's all I've been doing. It's just making art and doing art lifestyle, things that relate to art. And the most amazing thing is that I was distinctly told not to go into creative lifestyle. You will not be able to make a living. in art or design. And art is really what saved me and made my life just the most amazing lifestyle I could ever imagine. I mean, I didn't even imagine that it could be this great. So that's, I think, my 7 minutes or so.
Now, did you ever read Portrait of an Artist as a Young Man?
No, I didn't read that.
James Joyce.
Yeah, I know who it's by. And I knew enough to pick that as the title for this and to feel very clever
did
about
it. Did you read Finnegan's Wake?
No.
Yeah, no.
No.
No one has, actually.
They're all liars. I did read Proust.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The one with the Madelines.
Yes, mm-hmm. That one.
Mm-hmm. What is it? Of
Remembrance of Things Past.
Past. Yeah. I read
how, but only the first volume.
How Proust Can Change Your Life.
Nice.
Which is a...
It's the basic version.
Yeah, that's like a
great
high-end
philosophical... So like instead of reading Jane Austen, you watch the Jane Austen Book Club.
Yes, exactly.
Awesome.
Yep. And the one about the zombie... Yeah, the Abraham Lincoln zombie thing.
Yeah.
Isn't that also a...
There you go.
Sense and... Stabbing.
Sense. Oh, yes.
Zombie.
Anyway, we're recommending all these books and more here from The Stoop. And we also recommend that you visit The Wine Source, which is on Elm Avenue in Hamden. They have a great collection of wines. I'm particularly interested in Vino Verdes right now. They have a ton of those. They have beer. They have goodies and all that. And they're really, really nice people.
Oh, yeah.
You can also check us out at stoopstorytelling.com. We're going to be announcing our new 2019-2020 season,
holy
our
cow,
14th season.
That's insane. Cuckoo.
So you can find us online there. You can give us a review wherever you get your podcasts. And we want to thank Maureen, who does it all.
Maureen Harvey.
With flair.
Producer extraordinaire.
That's right. See y'all.